Everybody, we back at it. It's been a few people asking me to keep these episodes going, so here we are. As you know, my name is Lucky Lucci, or King Lucci, King Lifted, whatever. But I just hope everybody's doing great, staying lifted. I want to say thank you to my listeners and my supporters. And, you know, hopefully everybody got great things going on in their life at the moment. I wanted to start with a few facts. I've did a little bit of research on a guy named J.G. Tierney, and it seems that Mr. Tierney was the first person to die. I'm sorry, my brain went blank. But yeah, Mr. Tierney was the first person to die on the Hoover Dam. And you could do your own research on the Hoover Dam and when this happened and all this stuff like that. Well, I'll tell you when it happened. But just the facts behind it and things like that, right? So in December 20th, 1922, Mr. Tierney, he drowned while surveying in the waters of the Colorado River. Now, the crazy part about this story is exactly 13 years later, on December 20th, the same day, 1935, the last man to die was his only son, Patrick. That is some, like, I don't even know how to explain that, man. That is crazy. Now, on December 20th, 1921, a crew was surveying locations for the dam. They got caught in a flash flood, and a man named John Gregory Tierney was lost forever in the raging Colorado River, one of the first casualties of the project. Then, on December 20th, 1935, 14 years later to the day, the job site, he suffered its last fatal accident when a worker fell to his death from one of the two intake towers on the Arizona side of the Black Canyon. By the way, his name was Patrick William Tierney, J.G. Tierney's only son. Their names appear in raised metal on a plaque near the dam, never to be forgotten. Rest in peace to John and Patrick. Sad case, crazy story. You know, as my listeners, my audience, you guys can go back and you do your own research and figure out the story, you know, stuff like that. I did a lot of research on it, but it doesn't really go too much into crazy, crazy details. They started talking about their wives and their siblings and things like that and their journey on how they actually got to the Hoover Dam. It's just mind-boggling. How things happen. But like I said, another segment, you know, I hope you guys are doing well. Hope you got a lot of things going on, work, business, just life, kids. You know, we just had a new addition to the family, Alea Martin. You know, I got three sons, Prince, Diary, and Michael. Now we got little Alea. So my days are pretty packed. You know, trying to create new music, trying to get all this merch together, I got somebody actually want me to start promoting parties with them out here in North Carolina. So I'm going to get invested in that. I'm trying to change the game up, you know, take the violence out and, you know, everybody all drunk and just wanting to pour bottles and all that stuff like that. Make it more elegant, kind of like the Great Gatsby theme, you know, but for the young and classy group, you know what I mean? All that ratchetness, it has to go out the window for people and our culture and things like that to actually try to get up on a different level mentally, you know. I know, one, just a lot of things have to change in everybody's mind, the thought process, and, you know, how they maneuver through this thing called life. But everybody needs a good time. Everybody wants to have a good time. Let me say it that way. And I stopped going to parties about 10, 12 years ago, I guess, something like that. Just because it was, you know, I mean, not only I'm getting too old to be standing around sweaty, drunk people, but it's just that vibe of having to be protected and all this stuff like that, and be thinking about what's going to go wrong, all these negative thoughts before you even get there. And then when you get there, the party gets shut down because of what you thought came true. So got to kind of make sure everything is in line. Security wise and, you know, everything basically. But yeah, that's kind of the highlights of my life and my day at the moment. I have, go ahead and get it. Okay. Yeah, I was talking to my partner. I know I'm speeding through this, but this is like my first day getting back to it. I got a lot of things going on. So yeah, I'm gonna jump right into story time. Let's see how I wanna start this. So what, it was 2017, I think. Yeah, me and a group of friends are, well, what the title was called, Kidnap Kid, I guess, or, you know, Kidnap the Guy, something like that. Because we were still teenagers, but we weren't kids. So me and a group of my friends, we used to smoke a lot of the Sheba or marijuana, bud, loud, gas, whatever you wanted to call it. We called it loud back then. But yeah, we used to meet up and just smoke a lot. So it would be a few different places, locations that we would go to and meet up and just chill, listen to music, kind of set up our day before we went out and did other things. And one in particular time, we went to these apartments that was up the street from where I lived at. And we were sitting on somebody's steps. And usually, I mean, one or two things happen. You know, somebody called the cops on us. They never came outside to complain. The cops just pulled up and, you know, or an older person would come outside, or we would end up making a new friend or something like that, you know. So this in particular time, an older guy came out, but he wasn't like in his 40s or 50s. He was more of like, we were 17. He might have been like 20, late 20s, early 30s, maybe mid 20s. But, yeah, he came out there and we started talking and chopping it up. And, you know, it was kind of weird at first because we don't know this guy. And it's like he's trying to seem like he's like the hardest guy in the world, the coolest guy in the world, telling all these weird stories. And everybody's just sitting there quiet, zoned out, you know, not really feeling the vibe. But at the same time, we feel, I don't want to say safe enough, but, you know, the cop's not going to get called. He's out there. He lives there. Things like that. We've been in predicaments like that before. And one person that we just seen dumping their trash or going to their mailbox and we talk for a little bit. The cops come. We can run in their house. Things like that. So we, you know, thought like that, basically. And, but we went up there about 3, maybe 4 days, you know, in a row. And each time he would always say things like, he got to get some money, you know, this, that, and the third, you know, he want to catch somebody slipping, hit a lick, you know, basically rob somebody. So, and not to try to be like that, you know, but people, you know, things happen, you know what I'm saying? And, we didn't have a job, we did, you know, but let's just say we stayed with money and stayed with Loud. So we got it how we live, basically. Now, we basically knew a few people that were maybe 2 or 3 years older than us. And fear wasn't an option. You know, we were still young and dumb. Didn't think about the you know, repercussions of life and the effects that it had on other people and things like that. We were still young mentally where anything was going, basically. And these older guys, you know, they would get beat up all the time by us and random people. And you always hear stories about, you know, they went in, they were older, so they drove around in cars. And, you know, you would see them at the gas station in fresh clothes. And, you know, you could call them and they'll, you know, drop some weed off or whatever like that and stuff like that. But, like I said, it'll be a whole bunch of, oh, man, you know, forget them guys, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, so-and-so over there slapped him at the gas station and, you know, took his shoes off his feet at the party and, you know, just all this stuff like that. So it was kind of like a joke at the same time. Like, here we go again, but call them up. This older guy is going to, you know, do what he has to do. And out of, what, 5 of us, I think we all had 1 gun to share. So, you know, if I was on vacation or something like that, it's like a thing. It's like, all right, well, you know, y'all, you know, I could hold it, they could hold it, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nobody in particulars. So we came up with the plan, called them guys up by the older guy's phone. When they pulled up, this guy, we even got the guy's girlfriend involved. And they were supposed to be walking down the street like random people. One of my partners was supposed to walk up with like a third of the cash, basically. Count it out real, real slow. While he's counting it out, the guy's supposed to come up with the gun and point it at him, get everything. We all run off in different locations and meet up. Cool. We plan it out for like a day and a half, maybe, or something like that. It gets nighttime. We walk to a different location so they don't know where nobody lives at, things like that. They might have knew where I lived at, but that's besides the point. You know, like I said, I was hard-headed, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't scared. You know, it was like I done did so much stuff and then seen these people by themselves at different locations, and it was just a head nod. And, you know, they weren't, like, scared, I guess. But, you know, they really didn't, like, do anything until it was, like, 8 of them around. So it was like, whatever, bro. You know what I'm saying? So when the guy, okay, we're walking and we wait about 15, 20 minutes maybe. When they pull up, the guy and his girlfriend's on the other side of the street and they're walking and we all like, it's one of the movie type situations because we all like talking loud to each other across the street like, yo, y'all better be ready. No, y'all better be ready. And da 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 and going back and forth. And they finally pull up and it's like game time. You know what I mean? You ain't got no time to be trying to figure things out or, you know, stumbling and fumbling. Me and my partner did everything correctly. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one that did with everything. I know them because I went to school with them. The other guy, he went to a different school, and the older guy don't know none of us. So I'm like, yo, what's up? Da-da-da-da-da. You know, my homie right here, he, you know, he got the bread or whatever. And I gave him a few of my dollars and he put all the money together, which was probably like $15. And we was trying to get like $200, $300 worth of stuff. So he's sitting there, you know, counting it, bundled up in his hand, trying to get it together. He keep looking up, you know, and I'm looking at the couple. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Yo, when I say it's like 3 minutes go by and it's like straight up, like, I don't even know how to explain it. it was so eerie and weird. You know, it was like quiet. We were sitting there like looking at each other like, dude, why is they just standing there looking stupid like that? They see the car right here. You know what I'm saying? They see you counting, buddy. I'm standing here on my phone acting like, you know, I'm watching a video or something like that. And it's like straight up. So out of nowhere, the dude comes up and he has like a bandana or his wife, his girlfriend's scarf over his face. And he just stands there. He don't say nothing. He just got the gun in his hand, standing there looking dumb. I mean, like, really, really, like. Like, and at the time, something in my mind was like, just grab your gun and do it yourself. But at the same time, it's like, bro, I basically go to school with these dudes. I see these dudes all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's still like a younger thing. Like, bro, you handle this. You the older guy, bro. Like, you said all this stuff. You don't do all this stuff. And you know what I'm saying? So we just sat in there. The other guy ended up getting in the car, right? So the older guy is standing there looking like dumb. They literally look at each other and pull off with my homie in the car. So I'm mad as hell, and I'm grabbing this dude by his collar like, bro, what the hell's wrong with you? What is you doing? His girl just runs off somewhere, and I'm like, yo. So I get on my phone, and I call them dudes up, and I'm like, yo, bro, this dude literally just pulled his strap out on me and robbed me too, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on, man. This thing is crazy, this, that, and the third. Now, I don't know if they was dumb. I don't know if they was plotting on me too or whatever. But what I'm saying is they literally was like, yo, bro, we coming around the corner now. We're dropping your homie off at the other spot, at the other, you know, like two streets down. And they was like, yo, if you need a gun, man, just call us, bro. We got one for you and all this stuff like that. So I'm standing there like, well, shit, maybe that's another lick. But, you know, I hung up the phone, got on the phone with my, you know, my other homie, and we met up again. You know what I'm saying? And make a long story short or a longer story short, we ended up beating the fuck out that old dude. And I mean, it's weird because we never seen him again. We chilled at his, like, you know, chilled on them steps for maybe another month, maybe 2 weeks to a month. We never really knocked on his door again. We would be like making jokes and, you know, laughing and joking. And, man, if he come out here, man, we gonna dog him and all this stuff like that. But it was like a thing. It was like, bro, why would you do something like that? People's life is in jeopardy. They could have like pulled out on us. You froze up. You a grown man, basically. You know what I'm saying? Living on your own with your girlfriend. We still living with our parents. Like, we got a lot of stuff going on, bro. Like, I mean, we shouldn't have been out there like that. But at the same time, it was like a whole situation that them dudes wasn't like that, man. They had to do the junk out the window and try to pull off fast as hell. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know why people be pump faking, but at the same time, he almost got my homie kidnapped, man. They could have beat my homie. Like, they literally pulled off in the car with the doors wide open. Well, you know, with his door wide open. And I wasn't just going to go home and leave him like that. So I had to, like, put my name on the line and everything to call them up and be like, yo, bro, dude just didn't go on. He couldn't get y'all, so he got me. I'm stranded out here. I don't know what to do, this, that, and the third. And they're like, yo, bro, you right around the corner from your house. Just go home. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yo, y'all got him. You know what I'm saying? I can't just leave him out here like that. And they like, nah, man, we just dropped him off. Be safe out here, man. If you need something, man, just call us, bro, this, that, and the third. But like I said, multiple times I'll see them, either one, two. You know, I think it was three of them in the car at the time. But, you know, I would see one or two of them every once in a while. And I think at one point, one of the dudes did pull me to the side and was like, man, was y'all trying to set us up? And of course, I was like, nah, bro. You know what I'm saying? But it's been multiple times that eventually I just started doing stuff, no mask, no nothing. So they got the point eventually and was like, yeah, whatever, dude. You know what I'm saying? But it was that one time, that with that first few times that we was trying to get over on somebody. And I guess that was a learning lesson. You know, I mean, anybody in their right mind would have just been like, yo, bro, this is too much. I'm going to go ahead and go home and read a book or play basketball or something like that. But I knew in my heart that it was like, I ain't going to do that. If I'm down to do something, I'm going to be down to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's no gray area. It's either black or white. And at the end of the day, I went all the way black. But at the same time, it was like a thing. It was like, I just ain't want to be looked at like that old dude. You know what I'm saying? Talking and you ain't about nothing. And you know what I'm saying? Being around people that mentally ain't got it all. Because now the more and more I'm getting older and thinking, it's like we was some bugged out kids and was risking a lot, our lives, our freedom. It's crazy. I got friends that's doing like 40 years in prison for murder and people that OD'd off pills. It's just one of them worlds, man, that I'm just happy to be a family man. I'm married. I got 4 kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be as successful as possible. Got online business. I'm trying to get these clothes straight, trying to make music and just be a better person. And, you know, I ain't really too religious, but at the same time, it's like I try to think outside the box and just be a better person every day. Because, like, the dumb stuff that I used to do and the dirt I used to do, it haunts me, but it don't haunt me that bad. You know, it's not like I'm all depressed about it. Because, I mean, to be honest, forget them. You know what I'm saying? They was out here living the facade. But at the same time, I don't want my kids coming up like that or going through what I went, you know, what I felt like I had to go through or something like that. So I'm still trying to build opportunities for them and, you know, give them a different aspect on life. Because I really didn't have it hard growing up. I just didn't make the football team. And a few of my friends ended up, I didn't make the football team. And that left me to walk around the neighborhood in the summertime. And when everybody else was practicing football or doing something else with their life, I was basically stuck with the low lives, not doing nothing. And then when I got a little bit older, the majority of the kids, their parents actually, nobody really got a scholarship or a grant. You know, their parents actually put that money up for them to go to college. My parents didn't. So once everybody else dispersed and went their own ways, I was stuck in that town, just walking around the streets every day, drinking and smoking and hanging with people that I probably wasn't supposed to be hanging with. Every other 3 months, I was with some other person that had a whole different story to tell and had a record and 8 baby mamas and all this stuff like that. So it's like a thing. It's like you get not even used to it, but you feel like that's the way of life. You know what I'm saying? You feel like that's cool. That's how you're supposed to be. And you don't want to be the outcast and, oh, I'm different and all this stuff like that. So, like they say, if, you know, birds flock together, you know, and things like that. And it's like I had great grandparents and parents and, you know, that loved me and all this stuff like that. But the choices I made in life kind of just like put a hold on my future and, you know, it made me think differently. You know what I'm saying? I was like 19 years old with like a gun charge. They couldn't even say. They said it was a concealed weapon because they didn't actually find it on me. It was closest to me. But, I mean, you know, talking to my audience, I could be honest with you guys. You know, that jump was mine. But when the cops came, I just threw it and it didn't go too far. So, you know, it was one of them waves. But, yeah, man, that's my story. There's going to be a lot more coming. That's just one story to like a million. Yeah, y'all stick with me. Y'all are here. Southside stories, Lucky Lucci's life stories, whatever you want to call it. But we rocking. Progression music. Yeah.